The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
Circumspect and discreet. Stay light on your mental feet. One slip and you know you're through. Big Brother is watching you. Conform with all directives. Remember, obedience pays. And when you watch that TV screen, remember it works both ways. You'll disappear in a wink, unless you can double think. You'll vanish into the blue. Big Brother is watching you. You. Big Brother is watching you. Conform with all directives. Remember, obedience pays. And when you watch that TV screen, remember it works both ways. Disappear in a wink, unless you can double think. You'll vanish into the blue. Big Brother is watching you. Big Brother is watching you. Big Brother is watching you. Big Brother is watching you.
Look out, because here it comes. I thought I saw it coming. I just had this ringing in my ears that said, here it comes. I know I hear it. I know it's on the way. Here it comes. And I'm telling you, in this event, in that event, and in all events, certainly in this event. What is it? I think it's this way. In that case, in this case, and in every case, coming up. Probably one of the more serious things I ever did in my life. Without my pants. So come on, everyone. You will be there, and we will be there with you when you are there. What is it?
Cthulhu Crackles.
Not a moment of solitude.
Thank you.
am the godfather of internet radio. I am the bard of all broadcasting. I am the difficult historian, the third man, and the vegetable man right here. Wear many hats, but I don't like hats. I don't like hats. All right? Go back to the 40s when we all wore hats. I'll wear the hats. My name is Frank Atoll. The man whose name adorns the title of the show. I am here. Seven is going to be with me, and we're going to talk about who's listening and what do they want from us all here. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to City, from Othello and into every bordello. Here we go again. You turn around and it's Thursday. If you're listening live, and you're alive, of course, or you're not listening, my name is Frank Cotolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. Cotolo Chronicles. He does, and he has, and he continues to, and he will chronicle. Sound like that guy on the Big Bang Theory. Who, I don't know, Metzky? He can't say ours. It's Barnacle. I can't even imitate the guy. That guy's really good, you know, that actor, because he never misses an R. My name is Frank. Frank Cotolo. That's it. And an L, too. It's L's and W's. It's Cotolo Chronicles. Seven is going to be with me from his secret hideaway in another country. Oh, there's a lot of things going to be happening. You know, only the other day, I was telling someone who was going to listen to last week's show on the rebound, which you can all do if you listen, if you go to the archives, juicedtalk.com, and it's eventually going to be up there. My drunken piano piranha stupor from last week, I listened to just a little bit of it backwards, not backwards. I mean, I listened to a little of it. When I was sober again, because I don't know. If you had fun, that's good. Okay, I had fun, apparently. It is later. Although, drinking makes you hungry. Does drinking make you hungry? I shouldn't be drinking. I will only do it interspersingly. Interspersingly? I will only do it here and there. The point I'm trying to make is no point at all. I was talking to someone, and I was saying, you know, this is going to be, there's a lot of things I guess I should talk about, but I know when we get a tremendous, I don't want to use that word anymore. I'm going to give that word up. We get a fabulous, I love that word, because I love the fabulous one. We get great, fabulous response from my solos, and I do them. When I can. And still, so many people, so many things to talk about that other people know more about than I know. So you can learn things too. So I'm not going to force myself upon you all the time, just me soloing here in Cotolo Chronicles. I'm going to hand it over and listen to what's coming up. Aside from Seven tonight, and you know, we played at the beginning, we did a little bit longer of an intro, did a little collage, short one there. We did that. And played this song by Sheldon Allman. It's an old song, I believe. I don't even know the year. It's called Big Brother is Watching You. And that was specific because we're going to be talking about internet privacy and a United States Senate ruling that takes it away. It lifts privacy. Imagine that. What it really means, what it means to you, and what your, and the ramifications. What's going to happen to you now? Me, I don't care. As I told you, I don't care. Don't ever care. Because I let them all hear. I let them all listen. I don't care what they think of me. And I know I'm not doing anything particularly ornery or anti. You know, all they want is money. This is a money thing. We talk to Seven about it because he is the master of the digital world. From the TikTok man, from the olden days over at MCAST Radio, where I started. And I started on internet radio, where it all started. What am I talking about? It all started right there. That's where the, and this third man now this mysterious third man is the, I guess the ISPs. I don't know. We'll learn more about that. But listen to what else is happening. I'm going to be able to do the talk to you about this before we go get Mr. Graylands. Graylands, don't bother me, Gray. Listen to this. April 6th. Charles Dennis is coming back. I told you he was coming back, but he has a web series now on YouTube called At Will at Large. At Will, like in the actor Lionel At Will, except you don't remember that, most of you. Okay. At Will at Large is a web series on YouTube. I don't know how often it's going to be or what have you. And one of the stars of that series and Charles will be on here. That's April 6th. April 14th, I have finally gotten a commitment from Mr. Kurt Brandow, going to tell us all about Twitter stuff and other things that's going on around the world. He's a world traveler, he's a teacher, and he's the man who introduced Twitter to all the people who listen to internet radio. Before there was Twitter and hundreds of thousands of people went there, before presidents went there and senators and everybody else, there was Kurt Brandow saying, hey, you should go on Twitter. We introduced Twitter to the world right here on Cotolo Chronicles. Kurt, who at that time was in Saudi Arabia. Oh, no, not sorry, not Qatar, not Qatar. He was in Qatar. No, he was in base Qatar. He was in, that's right, the United Arab Emirates. And then he moved to India. India. And then he will be talking to us from the Philippines in April of the 14th. So we'll be talking, it'll be like 12 hours later. So he'll be up. I hope he's up. We'll be up. Of course he'll be up. He'll be a guest. Then after that, Stacey Lane Wilson will be coming back. And we're going to talk more about kicking around Hollywood. And we're going to try to get Heather Drain on with Stacey. Stacey's book, doing very well at Amazon. So L.A. How could you miss this? Even if you don't put extra O's on so, S-O-L-A, four letters, that's the title. Great book. I'm still reading it because I read four books at a time. And that's one of them I'm reading right now. So you go get that along with my books. So that's what, those are people coming up here. We're also, I'm even got more things I'm thinking about coming up. And what else? Let me see what else. Oh, Michael Laskin. Speaking of Charles Dennis, Michael Laskin. You know, this may break a record for us. We may have guests for the next 2 months. Who knows? I don't know. It's how it works out. You can find out what's happening either by being my friend on Facebook. Be my friend, Godfather. You be my friend. Be my friend. Frank Cotolo, because there's no... You know, you can get me a Tumblr, too. Do you know Cotolo.tumblr? They find, you know, I don't know what happened with that place. They locked me out for, like, months, maybe longer than that. And they don't use it a lot. But there is some stuff there. I should go there more often. But, you know, there's so many places to go and do. I mean, it's ridiculous. You watch someone on TV and they go, you know, even on TV, okay, on television, where they never wanted anything to do with it. And then they go, like, don't forget, get us on, get our podcast, get us on Instagram, get us on Twitter, get us on Facebook, get us on Facegram, get us on Twittergram, get us on Snapchat, your chat, my chat, e-bog, bam, 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 bam. So what does I mean? Oh, but, you know, best to go to Facebook, get Frank Cotolo, ask to be my friend if you're not already, and then you find out. Or you can just go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com. And I keep saying that I'm going to update that and keep that going the way I used to do, but I don't do that. I do less, and I get more done doing less and less in my life these days. But I'm glad to be here, happy to be here. I'm ecstatic to be here, because I almost wasn't here. I don't know how many times I almost did never come back to this show. And this is the show, the premier show. So that takes us all the way through, I believe, April, I think, all the way. And then many more people. So wake up. It is night and it's time to once again tell you those things. My books on Amazon, on Lulu.com, on Blurb.com. And of course, Grandpa Barry. Almost heartwarming stories. I tell you about all these things because this is a cornucopia of great interweb activity that you can do on your Android, iPhone, ePhone, or whatever. You can do this. It's all yours. It's all free. I offer this stuff. I'm not like those guys who say, you know, it's coming up. Hey, you know, watch any TV show you want. Just $9.99 a day or something or whatever. And of course, we're all clients of ISPs and everything, but it's getting so expensive. And now it might get more expensive. Oh my goodness. I can't wait to talk to Seven about this. I'm sure he is well versed, even though he's not in good health. I hear he's got a bad cold, but we'll talk to him about that. He's always filled with conversation. As we go down the Hallelujah Trail, of course, what other things do I have to tell you? Well, you know, there's so much I want to talk. And I'm sorry also, I apologize again. I'm always apologizing for the lack. You know, Reddit bothers me. And I go there, every time I go to Reddit, and I say, okay, time to make a subreddit. And I'm going like, why? One more place to go here. You talk about second thoughts? When did I start this? How many weeks ago was that I was talking about? I discovered Reddit, and I think we should have a subreddit for Cthulhu Chronicles. Why now I'm going? It is what traffic goes on there. Do you know this is the eighth largest, I think it's eighth, maybe it's fifth, largest site on the internet? This is how much traffic, this is how many people, places, and things, how many nouns are involved with this thing called Reddit. And I just can't, I mean, I go there and I just feel like I'm being battered with, and I like busy things. I've told you this time and time again when we talk about, you know, newspapers, printed things, and how I like busy stuff. But my goodness, OMG, I'm telling you that Reddit is, I don't know what, maybe it's the way it's, maybe there is something to it being like visually friendly, a website, you know, and not an attack. What an attack on, forget about the senses, and if you start looking and where it sends you to different places, and you read the news, the fake news, the new news, or whatever's going on there, okay, it's unbelievable. Twitter is not like that, and yet Twitter was originally, originally developed for people in certain categories of interest to meet one another and share things. For God's sakes, that's why the internet was created, okay? To share things and people, and that's why there's a genre tree and everything and every category. But Reddit is like, I don't know how to say, like, you know, walking, let's make an analogy, like you care, because if you like Reddit, let me just say this. Forget about analogies and metaphors, allegories, allophores, and metaphors, metagories. Let's just say this, that Reddit is a platform that is so, it's so busy, it's so wordy, it's so, I don't know, maybe it's me. Of course, like that one. I don't know, maybe it's me, but that's what a cop out. It is me. So I don't know if I'm going to do a subreddit. I could do it, but then I have to go there. You see, that's the other thing. There was a time when I was spending a great deal of my day going to all the sites, and back then there weren't that many, true, but I mean, even when there were the Yahoo clubs and the Excite clubs and all the little places, and there weren't these special websites that had wheels within wheels within wheels within the wheels, even back in the old days, I had a bunch of them and I would go there, but there was no particular regularity. How do you monitor these things if you belong to everything and you tell everybody to go there? You need a staff. As it is, as I have told you over these years, most of the time, 99% of the time now, because I've been here alone here for so long that, and yes, that's right, I wasn't always alone here. There were other people on the show here and there doing this and the other thing. But when I had this show alone, I got to do everything, okay? I'm monitoring the sound. I'm recording it because later on it's going to be on other stations. I want to tell you that reminded me of one thing. True Talk Radio, which runs us twice a day, is down for repairs or rejuvenation or something. So don't go looking for us there in the next week or two. It'll come back. Just keep checking in a week. Or maybe it's on now and I don't know about that. But I do remember and I wanted to say that because they're so good to me. And also because on, because they have, they're connected to the Montreal Jewish News, which is once again running a current, blog of mine of humor, which I know you will find hilarious. If you don't, then don't go back. But it's a very popular one up there in Montreal. Montreal Jewish News, political pulp. So you can go read that. Now, where was I? It's back to Reddit. Reddit is just, you know, I'm going to, and yet there's a part of me that wants to conquer it, okay? But after all the things I do, all the deadlines I make, all the stuff that I handle, the things that I read, the general life chores, the cooking, the talking to repair people, the paying of the bills, the doing of the books, the paying of the taxes, all of this stuff that I do. It's just, and then I sit back and I go, hey, why don't I do a subreddit now? Yeah, well, you know, why don't I just make cheese? No, I'll make wax. I don't know, do something else. You know, I don't want to. It's like, oh no. And it's not like I spend a lot of time being lazy. And I don't sit around and watch television. I keep wanting to reduce what I have on television because I pay for it with the cable. Okay. And I did. I recently made a big, chop in my, my cost. And I don't know what's going to happen now if they start charging me to, anyway, we'll get into that. So the Reddit thing is on hold until I tell you. So don't worry about the, NSFW. It's not safe for work, filling your work. I don't know. 234 million unique. Oh my God. That is just too much. Okay. You know about the books. You know about all that. I'm also going to, we're also going to talk. Nah, that's it. I'm just looking through these pieces of paper. Oh, and once again, welcoming, as we did last week. Boy, those people in Cuba who listened for the first time and heard me drunk on the piano. I hope they don't think that's what the show is like every week. Because it's not. Oh, boy. I see he's ready. How ready when I am. When you ready than you are, Sergeant Pembry, says Mr. Okay, 1 minute for you. 1 minute and get another cough lozenger because I hear he's not been well. But hello, Cuba. And hola, viva Cuba, who are now listening for the first time last week. They started listening and now they're listening again. And it's not easy to listen in Cuba because there's a, there's 1 hour delay. There's not a 1 hour delay. They're listening live and that's it. The only other thing I want to tell you is that if you are listening live, I mean live broadcast, you're live, of course. Let's stop that particular stupid joke and miscorrected English. And let's just say that after this show, Savino Veritas. If you're listening on SRN live on Thursday night, if not, I hope you're listening to Savino Veritas, either their Juice Talk on the archives or the station that is playing this and rebroadcasting it now has Savino Veritas. Great show. Great, terrific, fabulous. Also fabulous. Let's not forget the Fabulous D, not on this station, over there at Juice Talk Radio. The Fabulous Show. D never reinvents the Fabulous D. D just does different little dances every once in a while. So when this show's gone, then that show's on, then up all night, two shows, three shows, or whatever it is. And that's what happens. But don't forget the Fabulous D. We never will. I told you about all this other stuff, so let's get Cuba! Oh, Cuba! Imagine that. We're talking about fans. Let's get him on here. Seven Graylins and his cold, what do you have, a virus or something?
Yeah, probably.
Probably. yeah. Coughing, sniffling, what?
Stuffy, achy, sneezing,
all the dwarfs.
The world, yeah, you know, all that stuff. But it's okay, cause I'm hopped up on cold medicine now, so.
Yeah, you sound fine.
If I fall asleep, then just continue without me and I'll wake up.
Well,
and if I start coughing, I'll turn off my microphone and start playing polka music. So that'll be your cue to just, you know,
I'll
work it out on my end and I'll be back soon.
I never thought of that. Polka. That's a good kill. Instead of a kill button and dead air, they just put the polka music on, right? That's a good idea.
Yeah.
What do you find is the best, cold medicine to like not make you feel so good that you don't care?
Actually for this bout of what I'm fighting, I'm just doing like DayQuil and NyQuil. That seems to be doing the trick.
Not together so. Though.
No.
That might be the trick right there, huh?
I'll be right back. I'm going to try that.
a day and NyQuil, cocktail. Ooh, I wonder. I've never heard anything bad, about that. Isn't it the same junk? They just put day on one bottle and night on another?
No, I think that NyQuil has, like extra antihistamines or something that make you fall asleep. Oh. But I don't know.
Did you hear, I don't know if you weren't listening, cause you were sneezing and sniffling, but, they're hearing us now in Cuba.
Cuba. Fantastic.
Yeah, there's a delay and there's some interference and stuff, but when on the live show is going on in Cuba, and it's just strange thinking of people there on the beach, like that's the only place they can get us. I don't know, but you know, with phones and poor people, because isn't it interesting how wherever you go in the world or wherever you talk to anybody who is and somewhere poor or, you know, in the world, in some country, and they all have phones no matter what.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the new device, right? Yeah, you got to have one.
I think the government in some places gives phones to people so that they can do banking. And if they have banks, you know, whatever they do, they can do on the phone as opposed to, having, you know, brick and mortar places. I don't know. I just think it's odd that people who they get on the internet or they find you in a chat room and they go, and these are, if they're legitimate, saying, you know, geez, can I do something for you so I can eat? Cause I haven't eaten in 2 days, or can you help me? And they're on their phone. They're on the internet.
Right. I actually, you know, I remember hearing, over the last 8 years or so, some right wingers down in the States complaining about Obama phones. And I don't really know very much about what this supposed Obama phone was, but apparently some sort of a subsidy or something so that people who can't afford them can get phones. And I'm actually all for that idea because you can't do anything without one. You can't get a job. You can't send an application for a job without email these days half the time. So it's one of those things that, you know, they're not that expensive, and sure, subsidize them for poor people. Why not? What the hell?
Yeah. Well, some of them were, there were some that were, that's what that was all about, that Obama phone thing. But you can work without a phone. You have to have a computer, some kind of computer, or tab or something, but you can do without a phone. I don't have a real smartphone.
Right. You have a computer. Right.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. So it's not just you need a phone. You need some kind of internet connection somehow to do.
But there's a lot of people nowadays that they don't have, like, I don't have a telephone in my house. I don't have a landline.
I do.
I have cable, internet, but I don't have cable television. And those are my only two, like, kind of utility. That's my only utility thingy that I've got connected up, and everything goes through my cable internet. And I have a phone. Mm-hmm. So I have access to email through my phone or through my computer.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that don't even have computers, right? They have like a tablet or they just use their phone.
Yeah.
And they don't have a landline, and yeah, that's how they stay connected.
The main problem I have with phones are, and I don't think this is just because I'm getting older, but it's so small. I really like to see things, you know? I'm annoyed.
Right.
It's just too small to watch anything or to do anything. But you know, that brings up the first thing I want to talk to you about. I don't know. And I heard about this last night. And I was wondering if you knew anything about it, and it'll, this will roll over into what we're talking about in terms of privacy or just, you know, the cost of internet providers or what have you. Have you seen this thing called the Tick Box TV?
I have not.
Okay.
No.
And if you want to look it up while we're talking, I'll give you a little idea if you want to put it on your browser. Tick, as in TikTok, not as in TikTok man.
TICK?
Yeah, not like the TikTok man. Yeah, TICKBOXTV.com, I believe. And I don't truly understand this.
I've seen these things before. Sure.
Okay. Well, this is not like the thing you stick on the wall and, this is a little more sophisticated, and I didn't understand, and I thought maybe you knew about it, because it says you can get anything that is being streamed anywhere from cable, you know, places, and it doesn't seem to be illegal, and yet that seems weird that you could do that, and this falls into the, you know, what do we get for free, what do we pay for, what have you category. But this thing says you can get anything, and you don't pay anything every month. You just pay for the machine, and that's it.
Right, right.
How is this possible? You haven't heard about it, though, but it's...
I haven't heard about this particular brand, but I do know of these. They're just these Android boxes.
So and there are more. These, you said there's more. It's not just that this isn't the first one.
Yeah, yeah. You can go to AliExpress and buy one of these for, like, $25 and, you know, have them shipped over from China. And then you just load up the software in them, and they connect to streaming sources online. Some of them, like, you know, YouTube-ish, that are legal and covered, and others that just they have the content out there more like a torrent, but you're streaming it instead of downloading it. So you're streaming this illegal file. I mean, not really illegal, mm-hmm. but it's, you know, if you download it and you share it out, you can get into trouble for that. But if you just stream it, apparently not so much.
It says it said in the ad and on the website there that you could connect it to a television. It said put it into your plot port or whatever port that did televisions.
Right.
So there,
right.
You'd have to have a television that has a plot port, whatever it was they don't all have that, right?
Yeah, I didn't look to see what this has, but usually they have an HDMI connector or something like that. And you just plug it into your television or into your,
and it works.
Your computer monitor, and they work. Yeah.
It works. So you could, you watch movies, you could watch any channel that it says any channel you get on any, you know, that you pay for on any, you know, ISP. Is that?
Yeah, I don't know how that works. A friend of mine is really into these, and he's kind of set up a whole bunch of my other friends with these little boxes. He brings them over from China and gets them all configured and set up. And they mostly use them for streaming movies and stuff.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how to stream like network and stuff, but it's, if it's online somewhere, then it can attach to it and stream it through the box itself. And then if it's, I mean, I imagine that there's probably a lot of illegal repeaters out there that are streaming content from, you know, ABC and then just bouncing it off their server or something. But
ABC would be free on a regular television anyway.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not through a cable, because that's just a general price and you're getting various things. Then you pay extra. It's amazing what you pay extra to get. I was shocked at that. When I did a cut, I cut my thing down because it's just too much already. And you got TV.
I haven't had cable since like 1999 cable television.
Mm.
I moved to satellite for a handful of years, and then after that I just stopped using any of that live television nonsense.
What
I get everything online.
So you just go, do you subscribe online though? Do you go to these like Hulu and Dulu and all these other places, or do you Netflix and?
I have Netflix.
What? Oh, you have Netflix.
All the TVs in my house are connected to a computer. So I've built little computers for all of my, I have a projector and then I have a television and they're connected to this thing. So I'll like, you know, watch things on YouTube or I'll, stream things from websites, you know, like MSNBC, they have like a new show or something. They have the content online.
Mm.
You just go to their website and you can watch it. So,
do you think a lot of these other devices are causing are being used as excuses for cable, for ISPs, I don't even understand the prices. I go over the bill and I go over it with the people. I'm like, what's this charge? And they says, well, that's the sports charge. I don't want sports. I don't get sports. I don't watch sports. What is this? And they says, well, you gotta get that. And then there's this tax and that thing. And what's real? I mean, I just don't understand why it costs so much, and aren't they pricing themselves out? Now, with this new thing, and this is where we'll come into this now, with this thing that's happened in the U.S., how much have you read about this internet lack of privacy thing?
FCC?
Yeah.
Rule thing? Yeah, I was reading about it, and, it's, sort of a dumb move to be making, but.
What exactly did they do? Let's let everybody know who people still might not know, because this was not one of the top stories that was being. I mean, this is amazing because, you know, so many people connected. They feel they have to have cable TV. Yeah, cable TV. You pay a cable bill. You do all this stuff and you're watching things. And then there's this. I mean, it just snuck up. And today the Senate voted to lift internet privacy. Now let's go to the weather. It's like, wait. What is this? What? What on earth does this mean?
So what it was, the FCC had come up with these broadband consumer privacy rules. And right now there isn't anything. There wasn't anything, right?
Right.
So internet providers could, basically take whatever information they can extract from their users and they can do with whatever they wanted to with this stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, web browsing history and things like that. And they could use that for marketing. They could sell it to third parties that could be used for marketing or whatever. Mm-hmm. So there was no policy on that really. So the FCC set this policy and Obama stamped it and it was to go online in December of 2017. So it hadn't even gone online yet. So essentially what it boiled down to was it covers a little bit of ground, but essentially it's that if the broadband company, if the ISPs want to use your data, you have to be able to opt into it and you have to be able to opt out. They can't just use it. You have to agree to it.
Oh, and then are there going to be ways that they're going to make you agree to it without knowing it?
Well, you know, you never know. But
you know what I'm saying, right? And they go, well, you signed the thing and it said right there, because who reads any stuff, right?
Yeah, and maybe they just say that opting in is part of the contract or something. Right. Yeah, who knows? But I think that was something that this guideline was going to sort of mandate that there has to be clear opt-in and opt-out. And then like how they can use the data, what they can gather. And I think there was some stuff in there on how they could use it. Because the U.S. Congress really doesn't know anything about technology. They just went, Obama had something to do with this, and all the Republicans went,
I disagree with you. I mean, in on one sense, and obviously an element, but there must be money somewhere to be made beyond the consumer. That would be, I think, the real priority, right? They're allowed to, let's get this straight. They're allowed to come into this, my computer, like right now, and they go, oh, look, the guy's in the radio talk show, and they could take your browser history.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even know.
Kind of.
I mean, give us the details here. Because it sounds like they could just take everything, sell it, and then suddenly you're going to get, ads popping up everywhere for anything that you're related to anything.
And that kind of is it. And so what they would commonly do, they can only see what passes through their network. So your browser history, they can only see based on if you go to, you know, Craigslist, right? And you if Craigslist doesn't have if it's just HTTP and it's not through an SSL certificate and it's unencrypted, then they can see what you're looking for on Craigslist. They can capture that data. Because it's all in plain text.
Do they know what they're in for with people?
Right.
Okay.
So, and what they would probably do is they would come up with some sort of a scheme that, okay, if I've got a company that sells Chevy trucks. So if you're on Craigslist and you search for Chevy truck, now you've flagged it, so it will serve you the ad for Chevy truck. That's the concept. Right.
Right.
So it's not really that. I mean, in the marketing side of things, it doesn't really freak me out. It's not that big of a deal because all companies do that, right? And
right.
Facebook does it, right. Google does it, and everything. And it's just part of the game, right? They have to try to make a little bit of extra money here and there wherever they can. And
so they get a cut of anything sold through the traffic that they display. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they would sell it just like any other online marketing. So they say, okay, every time we serve one of your Chevy truck ads, we'll serve you so many of them for X amount of dollars or something, right? That's kind of how that would work.
Now, what is this thing I heard about recently, though? They said that because they're doing that, that they find an excuse to somehow charge more because they look at that like a service or something. I don't know where what I read, but I saw something that went, now this is outrageous.
Whoa. Yeah, I don't know where that would come
big
from.
Big thunder. Did you hear that? Can you hear that through here?
I did hear that, yeah.
Yeah, big thunder, I hope. If something happened, not a cold, you know, if anything's knocked out, that's the end of that. We'll talk to you. We'll get back to you somehow. We'll never be able to.
I'll start playing the polka music and keep the show going.
But, what was I saying? Can they find a way to increase prices to people who use the ISP because they have to do this work and collect all this stuff or what?
No, I don't think so. I think it would be just a side business of theirs, right? Being able to market some of this content that is being generated that they're able to capture, and they just use it as another industry, side industry, right? So like Google, they have Google Maps, right? And I have Google Maps on my phone, and it doesn't cost me anything to have it. Uh-huh. But it can pop up little things here and there to like kind of promote businesses. Mm-hmm. And those businesses are paying for that promotion. So that's how Google is kind of subsidizing this Google Maps program, right? So they're just doing it. It's like, well, okay, we have all these customers that are out making all of this data that we can harvest and then sell and sell it for marketing primarily, right?
So these are like very detailed, remember when you used to buy lists? How far back can you go when people used to do mailings?
Right.
And get
right.
lists of particular people, demographics.
Yeah, it's the same sort of thing. Sure. Yeah. Now here's something that's interesting though that is going on is Google right now is pushing for all sites to be secure. So they're really pushing that all sites have SSL certificate on it, and that, you know, when you're on your browser and it either says HTTP or HTTPS.
Yeah, the S is secure, right? Yeah.
Right. So they're pushing to have everything be HTTPS.
Okay.
And they're actually giving peripheral. See, I'm in the web business, right? So we have a lot of clients that we make these websites for, and we do online marketing for them. And so we're getting a lot of SSL certificates for sites that normally wouldn't have them. Usually it used to be just for sites that did, you know, shopping carts and mm-hmm. things like that, but now just informational sites are getting them because Google is promoting these in their search engine. If it's a secure site, they get a little preferential treatment in searches. Now, the cool thing about this is that this actually will go against this anti-FCC ruling that's going on, because when when I'm on my computer and I pull up a website that's secure, it passes through my ISP as a secured packet. So they can't see what it is.
Ah.
So if I go to Craigslist and it's secure, they can look at all they'll be able to see is this IP address that I've requested this secure packet from.
Right.
But they won't know that I'm looking for Chevy trucks. They won't know what I'm looking for at all. All they'll know is that I've gone to this website, but they don't know what I'm doing on it. So that's the push. And everything really, I think we've come to that age where when the internet first came out, you know, it didn't really, things weren't secure and it didn't really matter because nothing really was going over it that was that big of a deal.
Right.
Now that, I mean, the Russians are using it to target elections.
Right.
We need to start locking some of this stuff down. So email should all be secure. Websites should all be secure. It doesn't really cost that much more for the person who's doing it. Like, I think it's like $30 a year for me to put a certificate on my site and do it. So it's the big scheme of things. It's not that big of a deal.
Go ahead.
I think that's the direction everything's going. So this stuff really isn't going to make that much of a difference because they're not going to be able to capture that much. There's another aspect of that, which is DNS, which is when you go to Craigslist.org or whatever it is, your computer sends this DNS request that asks, where is Craigslist.org actually located? What is its actual IP address?
Right.
All of that is insecure right now, but that is starting to come out as people are starting to lock that down as well. So all of this traffic will eventually be all encrypted and none of this will make a difference.
Well, really. I noticed the other day there were updates. I was using Mozilla, the other Fox thing. And I noticed that this had never happened before, but it said, no, we're making updates because you have the browser. And I went, geez, that's odd. I never did that. And I saw it. And then I went to a site and I was going to sign in and a little underneath the rectangle there where you write in your password and stuff. It said, this is not a secure site. Okay. So telling you that you could go here, but go at your own risk. And I looked up at the URL. Oh, here comes a big thunder. You ready for this one? Cause that was a, that was a big lightning came right through the window there.
1003, right? 1004.
Basic science here. This one. It's farther away than I thought because Mozilla said, it's farther away. It was so light that it was right here. So, and Mozilla said, you want to go here? That's fine. And that's the first time I looked up and went, look at that. This site doesn't have an S.
Yeah. And it's a big industry push towards this having everything secure. So all the browsers are going to be doing this now. They're all going to be flagging things and giving little warnings and stuff.
Well, this is information because I know a lot of people who are starting to freak out because when all you got to do is say lift privacy and people think a lot more is going to be, scanned and looked at and collected than is actually going to be.
Yeah. Cause the industry is sort of catching up to having everything not secure. So. When I used to be an ISP, I used to have my own, we've talked about this. Sure. I had my own, you know, dial up service and things like that.
Right.
And I had my own DNS server and that my customers would use my DNS server to find websites and I could actually browse the DNS server and it was hilarious to look through the DNS requests to see we'd find all kinds of crazy sites that I had never heard of before and we'd go to them and look at them and see what they are and, none of that was attached to the client that actually looked up the site. Just someone looked up the site and that ended, the name of this website ended up in the DNS cache. And so we'd look them up, but I could, when a customer was online, if I wanted to, I could find out what they were looking at, what websites they were on at the time.
Right.
And I could, if they were sending unencrypted email, I could capture that email and read it if I wanted to. I didn't, but I mean, this was just being the owner of that network. It was something I could do. I'm the IT guy at work. I could do that for, you know, everybody on my network at work. I could sit and sniff the internet traffic and see what people are up to.
I don't, but well, you have to have a purpose for that in general.
Yeah. Otherwise. The only time I've ever done it is if there's a large amount of traffic coming from a network port. I'm like, what, who is this and what are they doing and why are they sucking so much bandwidth? And so I'll look to see, okay, what are they doing exactly? And I don't really care what they're looking at. I just care that they need to stop sucking so much bandwidth. And then I go over and tap them on the shoulder and say, but all of that goes away when they're on a secure site, when they're sending encrypted email, and when they're using a VPN service that tunnels all of that information from point A to point B. So this is moot.
I mean, how are they going to get, or what are they going to get? If everybody goes secure, what will they get?
Yeah, that's the thing is they'll, over time, you know, a couple of years from now, they're probably not going to be able to catch very much, really, when you think about it.
In the meantime,
you just have to, you know.
They'll get everything they can.
Yeah, if you care, you can take steps to block your ISP from seeing this information. You can use VPNs, which will basically tunnel your traffic from your computer. It'll tunnel it across your ISP and everybody else in between to the exit point of the VPN, wherever that happens to be.
Yeah, I work on a VPN for a company, and you know, to get into it, I have to do X amount of things, and yeah, nobody else is there.
But you can get them for personal use, and they're not joining networks together as you would use them for work. Like I use a VPN to connect to my network at work from home. And then it's just like I'm sitting on the network at work.
Right.
But you can use VPNs for privacy reasons as well. So it just tunnels this traffic to another point somewhere else in the world. And it takes if you use a VPN for all your web traffic, your ISP wouldn't be able to collect anything about you. So
now how do the I don't call them the bad guys, but how does the nefarious bunch, is there any way this can be used by those who are out there doing things that are not necessarily condoned? I mean, lifting this privacy, I mean, how can it, what's the worst thing that could happen, or what
are the people? That's the thing, is that they're not lifting the privacy. It's staying the same.
Oh, okay, because it didn't go into order. Right, okay. So then we're all still subject to either bad or good or whatever stuff.
Right. Yeah, so the people who would do bad things, there was something that I read. I didn't get a chance to read it all, but in some of this Russian election mingling, they managed to get a bunch of information off of Facebook. And I don't know what exactly they were talking about, if they were using the Facebook algorithms that to target marketing through Facebook.
Uh-huh.
Because you can do that. You can buy ads and you can target your ads to particular people that are using Facebook looking at particular things. And then the ads will pop up. So it probably was stuff like that, is that they went through the regular channels and used whatever the company provided them and used it for spreading misinformation instead of, you know, trying to sell hot dogs or something. So
here on Cotolo Chronicles is Seven Graylins, of course, with us, setting the record straight on all this stuff, telling you don't freak out.
Yeah. Don't
relax.
Freak out.
Here's what I've been doing. I try to make games. I don't really care who's looking at what they're looking at. Maybe at a point in my life, I might have, but I don't really care what they're seeing. What are they going to do to me wherever I go or what have you? I'm not doing anything illegal. So, right. But there's this thing on Yahoo. Because I have two computers now and I have a laptop, I don't always log on to my Comcast email. I go to Yahoo. Right. And on my Yahoo email, on the side, on the right side of it, there are these boxes, and the boxes pop up, and there's cars, there's whatever, you know. And then on the top of the list of emails that come in or you're sending out, there's this, there's a strip there that has something about an ad. It's some kind of ad, right? And it says, and it says there, don't like this ad, you know, you could drop down a little box. And it says, don't like this ad, don't want to see this ad. So they're obviously collecting. If you're, if you want to, you can answer that question, and then they'll go, well, don't give this ad to this person, right? Because they're not interested.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But I always go to something else. This is what I tell people to do. We have a lot of fun doing this. My sons do this now. It's hilarious. You go to something else. And then when you hit something else, you know, I don't want this ad. It says, does, it says it's offensive. Poor choices. It's offensive. I don't like it. Not pertaining to me or whatever. And then something else, it says. All right. So every time, not every time, I don't do this all the time, but I'll hit something else. And then a box comes up, and it, you could write in there. They ought to know better. And what I do is I just write whatever comes to my head. I, it doesn't have anything to do with the ad. I just really think I get a kick out of this. And I wonder who is, you know, I, you remember way, way, way back here, when we got the, we started telling people about the Nigerian ads when that first came out. Remember that? And the emails and stuff. Well, you know, now, and I'm still getting them, and I love to. I want to put a book together on how I write back to these people. But these, this is really fun because whatever comes up, I don't even know what the ad is. I just always do something else. In other words, they are making no, it's no sense whatsoever to do this for me. And I wonder, it's like, you know, if there were a lot of people who did this, that would really ruin their function of advertising this particular thing. Because seriously, I mean, something comes up and I just write whatever comes to my head. Like the corn, the corn was good this morning, but I'll never flake it. I don't know, whatever. That's it, you know. And then send. And I'm thinking, somebody's reading this, or they... I mean, people must be reading this because if they want a real explanation, right?
I I don't know if it's processed.
How could you process when you leave a comment? Because they're expecting you to write something like, "I'm not in the market for a car." You know, they're hoping you're just going to be, you know, right? And then they'll take you off. Or do they just? I mean, why would they put that you could write something in there for something else? Because there's, you know, they would just throw it out. They were interested in what that other thing might be, right?
Maybe, maybe. It could just be a, it could just be sort of like a little, they know that it doesn't pertain to these other things. So it's this, it's not the choices they've given you. So it's something else. They don't really care what the something else is.
Well, then
but,
why wouldn't they, why would they put something there for you to write? Do they feel that's a
to give you something to do?
I would love to find out if anybody's reading this, or if you know, and for all I know, see, I know that when I answer the people who tell me there's money waiting for me in a, you know, somewhere, and the king of Siam has a, you know, I'm the son, I'm the accountant at a bank, and wherever this place may, you know, those typical things. Oh, you've won the lottery in, in, Bombay, which is not Bombay, whatever it's called. And I always write back to them, and, I just have a lot of fun, being, and I'm sometimes I'm very rude and vile. And I, and sometimes they write back to me.
Yeah, I've done that too. I've trolled them as well and had a lot of, I've gotten a couple of really good ones.
Yeah.
That I strung them along for weeks, right? One of them, I put a couple of these actually up on sevengraylands.com, where I was, one of them was my Russian my Russian girlfriend, where she wanted money to save her from wherever she was. I don't know. And then another one, I strung this guy along. It was one of the, you know, a prince died, and and they want you to help launder this money out of the country, and so I actually pretty early on in that when I said I started writing to this guy saying, this is a fantastic time for this to happen because I've got a brain tumor and I need to have it removed.
you're right in there.
as the dialogue progressed, my sentence structure and spelling got progressively worse.
I wonder if he even got it. Or if he's actually sitting there going.
It continued for a while. Yeah, back and forth. And I think it ended where he finally stopped replying to me. And the last thing I sent him was, I died. Thanks for nothing or something like that. I don't know. But
and then there's always giving them misinformation. You know, when they have a list, name, place, what you do, whatever.
Yeah.
And then there's times where I threaten them, but not because they're sending it to me. I mean, I just feel like sitting there and writing and saying, I'll invite them over, bring their wives, bring their daughters, make sure they're of age, but bring your daughter, you know, I mean, all sorts of really weird things. And I just keep wondering the ones who don't answer because, you know, you keep showing up on these lists. It doesn't matter. I mean, I may get a lot less now because they wiped me off the list, but let's face it. This is just all throw it at the wall and see what sticks, right?
Right. Right. Exactly.
But who is sitting there answering these things when they answer them? I love to get them mad and then they stop. That's, you know, when you do to them what they do.
Just wasting their time is good enough for me, you know, that they think that they have a catch and it, you waste their time for a certain amount of time. I mean, a lot of them, like the Russian girlfriend one that I had, pretty early on, it seemed like they were just canned responses, right? They had all of these responses all written out. So no matter what you wrote them, you got this canned response back. And kind of roped you in to where, okay, now they're going to ask for money. So I was sending like some of this stuff. I was telling them that I own this dance club and she'd be perfect to work in this dance club. And I have all these stripper girls that'll help her out. And, you know, all this other nonsense just to see, like, making it really unattractive. Like, this is not the person she would want to deal with.
Right.
And the reply back was like, oh my God, my boyfriend, you are so sweet. I love you so much kind of thing, you know, nonsense. And so then it just made me kind of get progressively worse on the responses, but then I just got these canned responses back. And then finally the ask for money kind of thing.
Sure.
And I think in that one, she said that she or he said they were in Johannesburg, and I was like, you're kidding me. I'm in Johannesburg now.
Yeah, that's a good one. I love that one. I love when they tell you they're in town. And, we did that.
I'll just meet you and give you the money and response.
We did that on the show here. There was some girl who, at least I went, you don't even know if it's a girl.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, are you giving me your cold? And we were talking back and forth on the air. And, I was saying like, yeah, I got money. I got somebody to literally give me all the information and then lie about it being there. So I'm like, well, get on down there and call me from your phone from here, you know, and, I've sent, what do you want? You know, just send me like, excuse me. I think we've gone viral, literally.
Yeah, do you have antivirus on your computer? It doesn't sound like it.
Wow.
You've got my cold
it
now.
It is something. I think it's the barometric pressure. It's going to happen again. Wow. That's like three sneezes. Okay, so all those things are being collected legally. I don't know where they get my email for those things. Is that someone picking up just random emails, or does that come from, remember the big Yahoo theft over the summer or winter or whenever it was last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, they get emails from lots of different locations that sometimes when you sign up on a website, maybe their list is insecure and it gets taken, or the website actually sells the email address.
That's what I was going to say. So in this privacy thing, whatever now, can a website just sell their list and say, you know, this website says we do, We do pizza. These are pizza lovers. We do pizza. People who love pizzas and have sex with pizzas and do crazy things with pizzas, right? And then we, so you want that list? Cause we got 200,000 emailed. Can they sell those? I mean, is that legal?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. As long right. as, in the States it is. I don't think you can do that in Canada, but, in the States, I think that it's pretty open as long as they have their policy, their usage policy. And as long as it says, they can do it, then they can do it. And maybe even if it doesn't say that they can do it, maybe they can still do it because it's, you know, it's just information to them.
So wherever you put your email around, it's bait, right?
Yeah. And I've been doing this for a really long time. I have this special thing that I do with email.
Okay.
That I have, since I have my own domain names, I can set up forwarders. So I can, if I go and sign up at dominospizza.com, then I can set up like an email address, especially for them, like dominospizza at my domain name. And I just have it forward to my regular email account. So then if I start getting spam under these particular email addresses, I know, okay, well, these guys sold my information or someone swiped the information from them or something. Yeah. I was using a company called TuneCore, which is, they're a media aggregator. So they were putting my albums out on iTunes and various places like that. It was one of the companies I was using for that. And I started getting a lot of spam email from my TuneCore email address that I gave specifically to them. And so I just, you know, when I stopped using TuneCore, I just shut off that email. And now I don't get a whole lot of spam because of that. And I actually signed up for a website. And it's about a month later, I started getting a whole crap load of spam from this specific email that I did for that I set up for the website. So I emailed them and I said, look, I'm getting a whole crap of spam from this email address. It's unique to you.
Uh-huh.
So all of the spam came from you. I don't know if it's an insecure thing or if you sold my email, but it's all coming from you. So if it's insecure, you should look at it. So they replied back, no, this isn't happening. No, we don't sell this stuff, whatever. I went back and forth with them for a while and they seemed really fishy to me.
Right.
So I took that email address and I forwarded it to them. So now the system administrator that I was communicating with, he's now getting all my spam.
have you ever loaded the address thing when you send it back to someone, like try to put like hundreds back? In other words,
I've done stuff like that for years.
But you just go copy. So they're sending you, and then you send them back 103 or whatever. What's happening to me since I came on the air with you here? Don't worry, that's not you. There's just a ton of things you could do if you have the time and you want to have some fun. And I think that in the long run, you are purged from lists and various places if they say, uh-oh, it's this guy.
Well, if you don't respond, then they don't know if it's valid.
Right.
That's the best way to deal with spam is to just delete it.
Just delete it.
Let the spam filter catch it. Flag it in your spam filter. If you're using something like Yahoo or Gmail or something like that, if you flag it that it's spam, they have a giant spam filter signature database. So when you flag them in these types of accounts, it just adds to this database and it makes it so that they can catch them again in the future. Right. And that's really all you can do. If you respond to them, that's probably the worst thing you could do with spam because it verifies that email address is being read.
Yeah.
Right. So.
I don't understand ones like this now. They always surprise me. Every time I think I know like everyone, I get surprised. I get one and it says, okay, let's do it. And then there's a click and it's from, I don't know this person. And there's a link. Okay, let's, mm-hmm. okay, let's talk. Okay. Just like four words. And I'm going, what? Who? Who? I think this is the most idiotic of them all. Who's going like, well, I guess I should because he wants to or she wants, what? It doesn't even try to fool you. It yeah. just says, I'm ready when you are. So click here. How? Yeah. I don't know.
People that click those. You know,
come on, you know people who are like your age, your intelligence, your somewhere in the vicinity of your consciousness who just go, all right, let's do it. What? Who? You do?
I have a lot of users. I know a lot of users.
Wow. I mean,
when you're a computer guy and people have problems with their computers or emails, you hear a lot of stories.
Now, all of these. Okay. But all of these people. Are not, what are they basically trying to do? If they want to just give you a virus, that's just for a piss and giggles? Because, I mean, you're not getting anything out of that? Or what are they really trying to do?
Some of them could be, when they send you to a webpage, they could be, they could have a webpage up that has ads on it. And so they're selling ad revenue. Or they're selling views for these ads.
So they just send you to a place and you go, hey, look at this. I need some rope. They're selling rope. Like that?
Yeah.
I mean, like a bunch of billboards or what?
Just being able to serve the ad to an eyeball, they can make money off of that. So some of them are that. Some of them are, obviously, like the porn sites, they want you to get you to sign up to the porn and do, you know, live video of whatever is your fetish. Those make sense because that's,
those are ad ways stuff,
but yeah, a lot of the ones where you just click on the thing, if they're not fishing for information, then they're just serving ad content.
And what percentage of them, just to estimate, like, so there, well, let me put the question to you this way with a statement. So there are not really a lot of them who are sending out these links so that they could take over your computer right there.
Probably not a lot, no.
That's complicated, isn't it? I mean, can they hold you for ransom? you over by clicking one link?
Yeah, that's probably a rare thing.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, you kind of have just to click a link. There's multiple stages that have to happen for a bot to get installed onto your computer. But, I mean, it can happen, but I don't hear about that often.
4 years ago, the Republican convention was hacked. Not the Trump, but the Romney convention. And that week, and I got hit with it. It was massive. It hit them. It hit me and this huge thing, I mean, came on my screen and it said, this is the FBI, and I thought it was just me. Somebody had just hit me or hit Comcast, you know, and then I was getting it. Mm-hmm. And it said, you know, you gotta get a green card and, you know, pay $200 or whatever it was. And I mean, they don't even say ransom. They say, like, you know, we're the FBI and we'll take $200 bucks and give you your computer back. But right now we can't, you know, I wonder who's sitting back going, look what the FBI can do just on the internet. You know, it's like, what? I mean, why don't they just say, you know, you're under arrest. Your computer's under arrest and you got to give us $200 bucks or you get it back. But it was part of this giant hacking, this giant thing that happened all the way through. I learned later that I was hit with them and they finally, you know, I got Comcast and they knew what to do. Because apparently there were, you know, lots and lots of people that it hit. And there was no way to use the computer unless they somehow went in and got rid of stuff or what have you. You know, and then they said, you don't have this special protection thing we have. And then suddenly they want, you know. But that's rare also. Nobody's taken over my thing. And lots of times if you even accidentally hit something or you go to a website and it takes over and it's some kind of a traveling villain and it takes you somewhere. All you really have to do is reboot. I found just turn it off and reboot and you come back okay. So I don't really think there's as much of that truly nefarious stuff that shuts you down.
There are Trojans that get into computers and they are become part of a botnet and people can control them remotely to do things. That's happening.
Well, that's the kind of thing. That's where you're looking for. They're still looking for information, though. They're looking for passwords. They're looking for, right? They're looking for things when they want to take over.
The botnets are used to attack networks.
Well, why?
Right.
What do they get out of that?
To make them suffer. For the people who control the botnets can sell the service of this bot army to someone to use to take down a network, right?
Uh-huh.
That's little Russian and Chinese hacking, money-making schemes that they do. So there are computers, and some of those computers, you may never even know that the botnet is on there.
Right.
Because it just kind of does its thing in the background.
Right? So all the Nortons and all the things that exist, and there's still stuff that cannot be caught.
Yeah, the zero-day stuff that comes out that if the antivirus or anti-malware doesn't know the signature for the thing, then it has no way to stop it, right?
Wow.
But most of them kind of follow the same sort of rules. And so they're looking for the antivirus. They're looking for particular signatures, particular actions that these softwares will do and can usually shut them down just based on their behavior.
These are people who are maybe they're more or as well-versed as someone like you who's been working in it for years, who just sit down and decide to use it for evil. Is that it?
That's right. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
When in fact they could be using this information as you do to, to run a business or do things or run a website and be totally legitimate. And yet they just do it for the kicks.
I think there's a lot of them that do it for the kicks and a lot of them that do it because it's easy money.
Right? Yeah, money. I'm always thinking, like, why do it for the kicks? You're not even there to see the person suffer.
Right.
It's like, I'm going to shut down 20 computers in my neighborhood today. And so what if you do? I mean, doesn't make much sense. Speaking of not making sense, speaking of that makes sense, the opposite is what's happening here right now. We're talking with Seven Graylins at sevengraylins.com. I've been there and I linked everybody over to you. You've got a number of things going on there too. And now that we've settled this privacy thing and we're okay, we could talk a little bit, about pinball. How's the pinball world doing?
Pinball.
Yeah. Give us an update on your place and what's going on.
I don't have any really new update on the space.
Okay,
yet.
We'll move on. No, what's going on?
There's a space that is looking more and more promising every day.
You don't even have that space yet, then?
No, I don't have the space yet.
Okay.
No, that's the trickiest part of all of this because it's got to be big enough that I could put in enough machines in to make it interesting. But it can't be too big that I'm just going to drown in the costs of running it, right? So I'm trying to find just that right balance because I don't even know if this pinball arcade is going to take off like crazy, right? It could just kind of flounder for a while.
After you were on the show, there was a huge story on CBS Sunday Morning. Amazing how you just, I guess it's one of those things where it just comes into your consciousness because you and I were talking about it. I had no idea that it was becoming a, a thing again and that there was a whole community out there. And then they did this entire, segment on people who are redoing them like you and then the new type. It was like our show, only that was CBS. So, I guess they all got paid for it.
It's funny how pinball is really taking off. Like it's really becoming a thing again because I think because it sort of went out of the public eye. Like it was in the 70s and 80s, there were pinball machines all over the place.
Right.
You can go to 7-Eleven, there was a pinball machine, an arcade machine, right? They were just kind of everywhere. They were in every single bar you went into, there was always a pinball machine or something around. And then that just sort of died away in the 90s. And then in the 2000s, early 2000s, there really wasn't much around. but all these machines are still there. They're sitting in warehouses, places, and they just sort of got rediscovered. And since they are such unique pieces of machinery, it's a unique game. You know, it's
sure.
this whole mechanical wonder.
Sure.
And they're sort of magical too. They're yeah. one of those things like, how the hell does this thing actually function?
Right.
And so it's not a thing that everybody could like lift up the hood and get under there and start tinkering with. So it has, there's sort of a fascination to it as well. And then there's the skill aspect right. of being able to play it. There's all the machines have all these different rules. So they all play a little bit different. They have different objectives and things like that. There's such a big variable to these machines that I think that it's starting to spark interest again.
Maybe know? Also because people, maybe the iPhone, the mobility of the internet is getting people to go out again. Cause now you can go out and you could do analog shopping. You could do analog playing. And you bring it with you. I mean, before we couldn't do it, right? I mean, there was nothing small enough to bring it out. And now you can go out and do real things and bring virtual things with you.
Right.
So maybe, you know, people are waking up to a lot of these things that have passed away because people were locked into their own screens and, you know, their own little bubble of entertainment or what have you. And now they're right. going out. Maybe that's one way, right?
And pinball is, it's different from arcade games where arcade games, they, especially like the older ones, like, you know, Space Invaders or some of the classic ones.
Yeah.
They had a pattern to them. And once you figured out the pattern, you were done. Uh-huh. You could play it all day. Pinball isn't because even you can have two of the exact same machines side by side and they'll both play differently because things are tuned differently. There's imperfections in the play field. Just the rubber that the ball bounces off of is going to play a little bit different. So you can master one yeah. machine and then you can go and play one, the exact same machine and it'll, will play totally different. So there's a random aspect to it as well.
The idea of mastering is different though too, because, much of, let's face it, there's chaos theory all over the place with this thing, right? Because a ball never goes the same way and it hits the same thing, but never the same velocity, right? I mean, there's a lot of math going on there.
And there's a huge amount of chance.
Yes.
So I have a pinball machine at my work that, I've taken it, I've set it up there and everybody plays it and stuff. And that machine is vicious. It has, the flippers are really wide apart. So the center hole down the middle is larger than most pinball machines. Uh-huh. And then the outlanes on the side are particularly nasty. The machine is called Dragon and it was made in Spain, in the 70s. But when you shoot the ball, it goes through lanes at the top and that's 5,000 points to go through a lane and it has to go through one of these five lanes. So when you shoot a ball, you are guaranteed 5,000 points. I'm okay at pinball and I've had games on that machine where my score was 15,000 points.
That's it.
That's it, because it just, it went up, it went through this lane, it went straight down the middle. It went up, it went down the lane, it bounced off this other thing, it went off the out lane. And I didn't even have a chance to touch the ball with the flippers, because it's just chance, right? Yes.
Yeah.
And then there are other games where I play that, and I play it for 10 minutes, and it has the old rotating score reels, and I'll flip the score reels around, right, and reset them all at zero. And then the next game I play, 20,000 points. Right? Just a huge amount of, and that game is super frustrating and it makes me want to keep playing it, right?
How come there aren't a lot, or are there a lot of sites where you could go play like a virtual pinball? Remember we used to do virtual bowling? They probably still have all these sites. I don't know where to find them and I don't spend time with them, but,
there's virtual pinball and it's on like some of the new, I think like, the PlayStations and stuff you can get, virtual pinball tables, and there are new ones that are they're newly designed pinball tables that are unique and they would never function in reality because they have different aspects. The ball does things that are not, doesn't follow the laws of physics.
Right. It's got to be completely different.
And it has video aspects and things like that. And then they've replicated actual pinball machines onto these. And I've played them. And I don't particularly like them. I think you lose the big, for me, the big element of pinball is the kinetic energy. And you, all of that goes away once it's vertical.
Yeah.
But I do have friends that are very, they're really into pinball and they love those games too. So it, you know, it's just a matter of taste, I guess.
Well, yeah, but there's also there's a whole social aspect which may be coming, which has got to come back with it because, you know, you go with friends, they serve beer, whatever they serve. I don't know if they can serve alcohol, but whatever they serve and they talk and people sit around and you meet new people, right? That's the kind of stuff that never happens when it's just you and maybe somebody you know, or just you sitting, because the things that you could do alone with not just websites, with games, you know,
right.
and the ones that you buy. And I don't know how people, I guess younger people can master even some of these games. I don't know how they do that. I don't. I mean, I you know, the whole millennial generation, they're growing up with this extra sensory perception of how to play these things automatically, which I don't have. And I don't even think you have it. I mean, you would know a lot of things.
But, I grew up in the arcade world, right?
Yeah.
So it's different. My hand-eye coordination on video screens and stuff it's not as good as, right, you know, some people, but I can play a lot of those games. I don't like playing them, but, I can adapt to them okay. But.
Now, while you're here then, as long as we've gone through all that stuff and everyone is resting and having a drink and going, yeah, there's nothing to worry about, you know, I'm going to ask you about this stuff because a couple of months ago, I discovered I'm way behind on this. Okay. I know I'm way behind on this. I said, what's Reddit anyway? I didn't know. Okay. So I went to Reddit and then I was talking about it on the show here. I said, hey, you know, maybe I can make a subreddit and then we'll have people go to Cthulhu Chronicles because I think that's what they do because you can go there like they have all these other places. And then since then I have had this every time I go there. Well, first of all, I don't know how to make a subreddit. I signed it and everything, and every time I go there, this is like an ant, beyond an anthill. I don't know what even to call this. It's like a schematic. I can't read. And I go there and it uses me, but like, so I'm, let me know, and you know how, when were you invited to understand Reddit or what the hell? This is the fifth, I think the fifth or the eighth largest website, in the world, from what I
yes.
hear. What do you know that I should know or anybody should know who wants to go there has never gone there? Cause it still seems almost ancient compared to, you know, it's not a friendly place to look at even.
Yeah. It's a little confusing to figure out what's going on if you aren't familiar with it.
Yeah.
I don't know when I discovered Reddit. It's been a while.
How old is it? Is it really that old?
I don't even know how old it is.
Okay.
No, it's been around for a little while.
Okay.
Yeah. And it hasn't really changed much since its first incarnation.
And that's odd because did go to a beta? It's like still the beta version. I know, but go ahead.
But it's,
tell me.
Essentially, the easiest way to understand Reddit is it's the world's biggest message board is essentially what it is.
Right.
So there's the subreddits are just the categories of what people want to talk about and discuss. And it's, I think it originally started as more of a news aggregator. So you could, if you found something like, remember Slashdot and some of those other sites right. where you would find something interesting online and you would paste the URL into right. Slashdot or Reddit and you'd make a little comment about it and you post it. And then when it was posted, other people could make comments below that.
Right.
So you can send people to this article you found interesting and then people would discuss it. And that's essentially what Reddit is. But Reddit also allows you to just post, just text, right?
Yeah.
So you don't have to post a link. You can just post something, or you can post a picture or something like that, and then people comment on it. And that's Reddit. So
it calls itself the American Social News Aggregation. That's
right.
That's what they say. So, and there are all those categories. So anybody can, so I've signed up and then I went, now what? Am I supposed to, I hate these things that don't give you just look, A, B, C, D. You want a subreddit? Do this, do that. Not that it even matters. I don't know who would go there or what have you, but I when I saw it, so I was like, hey, here's another place we could just throw some junk. Which is like, and from what I looked at, a lot of people have that idea.
Yes.
Cause it's just incredible. And then you, how the comments go down and sideways. They kind of just like stairs. They just move out. You're right. It's very, it looks very old. And yet what? 234 million unique users. Is that possible? Yeah.
I don't know what their actual user. In fact, this Trump Russia hacking thing.
Yeah.
There was a huge, botnet that kind of latched onto Reddit.
So they had like the whole fake news thing going on there?
Yeah. So if something positive was said about Hillary, then the Russian bots would go in and post things about Bernie Sanders.
Uh-huh.
Right. So it was just this whole sort of, misdirection kind of thing going on with these bots. And some of them were controlled by people and some of them were not controlled by people. And it's still going on Reddit. You can go on Reddit and you can see this actually happening. And you can, the cool thing is you can look at people's posting history. So if someone leaves a comment, you can click on their name and you can go and see what other comments they've made things.
Navigating is really strange on this. And maybe because I haven't used it enough or what have you, but I guess what I'm saying also is this is really intimidating to get used to using it. I mean, am I wrong or is that just me? Is that my age or what? Because it's a mess.
Yeah, it can be a little bit, cumbersome.
Yeah. To,
but once you click into it and once you kind of figure it out, there's a lot of funny stuff on Reddit. There's a lot of stupid stuff on Reddit. There's a lot of misinformation on Reddit, but there's a lot of good information on Reddit. And it has to do with, the user's ability to extract that information that is viable and usable. And some people just use it to, laugh at funny cat pictures.
Right.
And other people spend there's really two subreddits that I go to, and one of them is a pinball subreddit. It's not very active, but there's some good information there. And I post things. I'm making pinball videos and things, so I'll post those there. Okay. And then there's the politics subreddit, which is lots of information is posted, breaking news. You can always find it. And then sometimes if the subject is a little hard to kind of comprehend what exactly is going on, you can read through the comments and usually break down, okay, now I understand what they're talking about. And there's links to other things in the comments to kind of fill you in. So it's a really useful site. I think Reddit is probably one of the more valuable websites out there right now.
Well, that's quite an evaluation. It obviously is a big city with a lot of good and bad neighborhoods but how long is it going to, I don't know what this aversion that I've developed over X amount of times, but now, I thought it was going to be easy. Just find a subreddit and just go to the link and click this and click that. And then every time I went there, I was like, sign in. And then what, where do I go? To the left, it says, what are your Reddits, your subs? And then where do I make a sub? But what? I don't know how to get out of that particular phase, or how would I learn to, it takes a long time, doesn't it?
To navigate it, yeah.
Yeah, so, the navigation, it's, yeah.
What I've done is I've created my own user account. I have several, actually. Sure. And then I go through all of the default, you subscribe to the different subreddits. So I went through on my accounts and I unsubscribed from everything.
Yeah.
Right. So okay. Now when I go and I log on to Reddit, there would be nothing.
Right.
So then I go through the categories, the subreddits that I'm interested in, and I subscribe to those.
Okay. So there's a link there that says categories, and then there's a million categories. I mean, I don't even know where to find the category unless you, I was, you know, searching. That's how I found things, is, you know, like whatever it was. I just wrote it in and it took me to the nearest bunch of subreddits.
Right. And that, you know, that's one of the worst things about Reddit is their search feature sucks. Mm-hmm. Their searching is terrible. If you want to find like a subreddit of something you're interested in.
Yeah.
If you try to search for it, forget it. You kind of have to get the subreddit sort of organically, like you'll stumble upon them and go, oh, hey, this one, there's a whole bunch of really cool stuff in here. I'll subscribe.
It sounds so timely. Doesn't it? I mean, I don't know how to devote. I don't know what to do to devote, to realize that I'm devoting time without getting, I don't know. And like I said, how do you make a sub? Okay. Give me an ABCD. I want to make a sub edit. Hammers. Okay, whatever. So hammers. What do I do? I sign in and then I go, where?
It would be on the main page. And I think that you can only make subreddits if you've made a certain amount of comments or you have a certain amount of karma.
Oh, wait a sec. Yeah. Right. There's that other thing. They have that thing called karma. And I go like, well, what's karma. This all about?
So that's, kind of your social standing on Reddit. So, if you never make comments and you never post anything, you have no karma.
Is that why people just put things like, hey, good, right? Or is it just that they can't express? I always think it's like, well, maybe people can't express themselves, but they're actually getting some kind of points and some value out of just putting anything, right?
Yeah. And if people upvote, you can upvote and downvote your comments and those work against your karma.
Wait. You upvote. See how this is getting more complicated now? You can upvote. Your comment, your own comment. How do you up?
No,
what's an upvote?
No, your comments are already upvoted.
Okay.
But you can upvote and downvote other people's comments.
So you go to another person's comment and you hit something that says what, up or down or?
Yeah, there's little arrows next to it.
Okay. Jesus.
Little
Christ.
Up and down arrows next to each comment. And theoretically, you're not supposed to be downvoting things just because you disagree with them.
Uh-huh.
That's sort of how the karma is supposed to work, that if they're contributing to the conversation, you upvote them. If they're not contributing and if they're sidetracking the conversation.
How is this karma tender measured? Is it some kind of, it's karma tender. It's not legal tender. It's a legal Reddit tender. Is called karma. How is this measured? You get 1 point, you get 2 points for every upvote or what?
I think theoretically it's like you get one upvote, you get.
What do you mean theoretically? How are you going to know when you have enough?
Because well, they mask what they're actually doing because they want people to game the system. So, okay. It's possible that one downvote is worth one downvote and it works one against your karma. But one upvote might actually be worth like 1.25.
Well,
right?
Wait. But how is karma measured? Just points? 1 point, 1.5 point, 2 points? What?
Just, yeah. So you can look at your account and it'll tell you what your post karma is and what your comment karma is. And
wow.
Ideally you want those in positive numbers. I've seen accounts that they create an account, they go and they just troll people and they just say nasty stuff and they have negative karma.
Okay.
And negative karma will work against you in some subreddits because you won't be able to post if you have negative karma. You can set your subreddits up to have particular rules. If your account is under a certain age, you can't post in particular subreddits and things like that. But it all depends on who runs that subreddit. Right?
Once your
account is old enough, or you have a certain amount of karma, then you can create subreddits. And I don't know what those rules are. You would have to
if I don't get it from someone like you, I would have to what? Understand it? Figure it out? I mean, that's,
well,
I'm thinking this must be me because there are only millions of people doing this, right? So why am I getting on there? And I'm not necessarily new to any of this. I've been around, you know, I've been on the net here, you know, we've been on here a long time. I don't know is anywhere near what you guys know, but still. You'd think I'd be able, I have not been, and that's the whole thing. This site has done to me what, I don't remember a site that did this to me. and it's like, well, it's like, why have I been on doing this for 20 years? I know nothing. And everyone seems to just go on it and go, yeah, well, I got my things, I got my karma, I got my rah, 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 rah. And I go to the FAQs, and it's like, I got like 100 more question. I got ones that I guess are not so frequently asked.
All right. So I just did, I went to Google and I said, how do I create a subreddit? And it says, when your account is more than 30 days old and you have acquired a small amount of positive karma, then you can create a subreddit of your own.
Okay. That's a good explanation. Yeah. So your account can be, can your account be 30 days old and you haven't gone and, well, then,
Yeah, okay. I guess if you create an account, wait 30 days, go make a couple of posts somewhere, and someone gives you a couple of votes, you're in like Flint.
So I don't have enough karma is what the deal is right now. I don't have enough karma. I gotta go in there, sign in, and make some, I gotta get to that point. I gotta get to the point where I go, and then I'll find out where they post my karma. And then when I know I have enough, and we don't know how much that might be. Right.
When you log in,
yeah.
Up in the top right, you'll see your name that you've picked. If you click on that name, it'll tell you then.
Okay.
It'll tell you what your post karma is and your comma karma, and it might even tell you how old the account is.
Yeah.
So that's where you get your.
Well, that's not too bad.
A subreddit, then just log into Reddit and kind of. Interact with the community and make a couple of funny posts and you'll have your karma in no time.
And then I could make a subreddit and then that just goes in there somewhere. I'd probably fill out something, right?
Yeah.
It says something. Yeah, what do you want on your subreddit? Like your page?
I can click on I have a create your own subreddit link. So I click on that and it says, what's the name that you want?
Okay.
The title,
okay.
Description, sidebar, submission text, blah, 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 blah.
So it's like putting together a little, Facebook page or something, then that's not difficult.
Yeah.
Can't be so difficult because really, I mean, because there must be people on there who know less than I do. But yeah, that's simple. But I mean, just getting that simple information and you bring up a good point because I've been doing this more and more. I go to like Google. It doesn't work that well on Yahoo and ask a question. Taught me that a millennial and it never dawned on me. Just go and ask a question. You don't look for something specific. That's what I usually do. A name, a place, or a thing. And it'll give you 830,000 searches or links or whatever. But I never thought about going and asking a question. And then suddenly all this stuff comes up that addresses the possibilities of answers for this thing.
Yeah, Google has gotten quite good at that.
Yeah. And I felt like a jerk when he did this. Because this guy did this and he went, I asked something. I don't know what it was we were talking about. And he goes, oh, I'm just going to look it up. And it was like, how do I use my wristwatch underwater? And that's it, whatever. And it's like, wow, I never thought of that. Just ask it a question. Search engines, I never imagined that would be. And he's new to do it and did it. And there it was. So that's what you just did. Now I've done that. I've done that with everything too. And I didn't believe this. How long should I boil broccoli? I swear I looked that up and I cook. I know how to cook, but for some reason or another, I wanted my broccoli. I didn't know. I said like, well,
Yeah, boy, I want it. I want it to be soft. You know, I don't want it to be hard. So,
and I hope that Google came back and said, "You don't. You steam it."
Well, is it? You can boil it. You can. That's the point. Because people said to me, "Steam it." And my son likes to cook, and he goes like, "Oh, don't put it in the water." You know, do it in the, or you could even bake it, or, you know, do something with it. Cause it what? I don't know what it does. I said, but I'm doing it. So I asked. And there's boil, broil, but anyway, it has everything in there. And that continually makes me feel like this is one of the most magnificent things that ever created, because there's, I don't know a question I could ask, and I'm sure someone could come up with that question. It's like YouTube. I'm still shocked when I go to YouTube and I go, let's see, Olson and Johnson. I put in a name and nobody even knows them. You know, I'm way going way back, and there's movies and there's clips it's amazing how much stuff is available. And that's why I tell some of these millennial, people that I hang out with here and there. And I said, do you realize the things you could learn and you could see, and you don't have to go to the library and read pages? I mean, it's right here, and they don't look for it.
And you know, that's the thing. We were just talking about how I cut off all my television service.
Right.
It's not uncommon for me to sit on the couch with my laptop surfing the web. And just reading stuff.
Yeah.
Right. And just learning things. Like I'll sit on the couch on my ass and watch TV or, you know, watch a movie or watch a show or something like that too. But, there's a lot of times where, you know, my Saturday routine, when I have the day off, I make a coffee, I sit on the couch, I drink my coffee, and I'll sit there for, you know, an hour just kind of surfing the web and reading stuff and learning about things and, you know, just.
But using
my brain, right? Filling my brain with useless knowledge.
Well, I don't know, but that's the point I'm trying to make here too, and that a lot of this stuff is not useless in certain categories. So like, for instance, I'll give you a specific example. I work with this guy who's a stand-up comic out. He was, you know, he worked here. He wanted to get into comedy. So, I helped him out with this, that, and the other thing and wrote him some stuff. And I would mention, when we talk about comedy, I would mention, comedians. And he was like, I never heard of him. You know, I don't know that. I haven't, you know, he's like, how, and I'm saying like, okay, we'll look it up, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, is, you know, when this stuff wasn't available to me, or when I was a musician or whatever I was doing, I would always look for like, well, where did this guy get it? Or what happened? I was interested in how it developed or how the person or, you know what I'm saying? I mean, what writer influenced what writer and what this and what that. And I would have to go through hell and high water, as everyone did in those days, to try to find that out. Today, if you say, literally say, I said to, I couldn't believe some of the names I mentioned to, this person. I said, watch this guy's comedy. Go, you know, watch some of this, watch some of the, it's here. It's right here. If I tell you, don't you have any interest in seeing it? You know what I'm saying? I can't, it's getting to fathom this. How they don't, it's like, it's amazing.
I was actually just there, so, related to this. I just recently watched, the movie All the President's Men about, Watergate.
Yes, I know.
And there was I thought it was a timely thing to watch, right? So,
sure.
And I hadn't seen it for years and years and years. Right. But something really stuck out at me is that they had in the movie, they had some guy's name, and they wanted to get more information about this guy. And so there's a scene of Robert Redford in their little corner of the office, and it's just shelves and shelves of phone books. And he's looking up this name manually in all of these phone books. And that really jumped down at me that, like, that's how they had to do it back then, right? Like, now you just take that guy's name, you throw it in Google, and you find his Facebook, you find his phone number.
Remember,
you find
the microfiche?
Microfiche? Microfiche would be the other way.
They look at old newspapers, and now the old newspapers are old newspapers. But, I mean, remember how that's what I mean. And you couldn't just, like, you know, go make a sandwich in the kitchen, go into your living room and do this. You had to get up, get out, and go to somewhere where there was a machine. Yeah, and look at, it was, you really had to make an effort to find out things. Today, yeah. It's there, and I really don't even, I can't imagine why it's not taken advantage of more.
Yeah, and more stuff gets, you know, more archives are being put online as people get the funding for it and stuff. So a lot of these old, even smaller town newspapers and things like that, they're going through and they're archiving things and they're scanning documents and they're putting them online so that you can actually, there was recently, there was a case that happened when I was living in Seattle, and it was this weird murder that had happened, and a friend of mine's brother was somehow involved in it. But nobody really could remember the details of it. I went online and I started searching. Like, I didn't even know this guy's name. Mm-hmm. I knew his last name, but I didn't know anything else about it. And I didn't, so it was incredibly difficult to search for. But I did find one tidbit of information which sent me to a newspaper where I could actually request information. And so I actually had to send them an email, and the person on the other end went, found these documents, scanned them, and emailed them to me. Right. And that will eventually all be searchable online, but for now.
Right.
She was the Robert Redford in the back with the microfiche books and digging through everything, trying to find this. And I found out the story and got the lowdown on it and everything. But, that was the first time I ever actually had to do that, where, you know, I had to, cause it was some obscure little newspaper that had this information.
And that's still maybe 1/100th of what you might have had to do, or 1/1000th. Of what you would have had to do. I guess what bothers me is not the fact that it's there, that it now it's there and it wasn't there. What fascinates me is that, people don't look.
Yeah.
Even when you tell them, I said, like, well, you know, you should see some of those, go, you know, well, Ernie Kovacs did that back in 1950. What? You know, never heard of Ernie Kovacs. Okay, so right. So you think you're doing something so original. Have you ever seen? No. Well, why don't you look for him? It's like you're bound to be there. If someone gives you a name, okay, I'll look at it. And then, you know, they don't. I would search for things, you know, when this wasn't available. And I do what you do. I'll find things, and then I'll go look for them, and I'll see things that I saw. And I even try to even go back even further. So it is just remarkable, and it's underused in so many different ways. And I don't think you can get into a lot of privacy trouble or anything doing all this stuff going around to places. Even though YouTube is what? You pay for things? You can buy movies on YouTube now, can't you? Yeah.
Yeah. There's some sort of like YouTube Red.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. It's not available here, but.
Oh, cause you're in another country.
Because it's Canada, but I'm making videos and putting them on YouTube and monetizing them, and I'm making money off of YouTube Red, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Well,
give
everybody your website where you could go that you'll make a couple of bucks or not, and, or they can certainly learn things from you about where, just because you got a bunch of places, right?
It's my new thing that I'm doing now is all this pinball related garbage. Okay. So I had this idea that, I had started making, videos on how to do like some simple pinball maintenance for people who are new to using pinball and things. And then it occurred to me that, you know, I have 45 machines. My friends, altogether, we probably have well over 100. So I have access to a lot of machines. And I thought, well, why don't I do these tutorials on how to play pinball?
Uh-huh.
Like how to play these particular, we can explain what the rules are for this particular machine. We can take the glass off it. We can manually poke at it to see what happens
when
you achieve particular things. And so I started making this video series called I Suck at Pinball.
Okay.
And it's, I'm not really, when I play pinball, I don't really care about the points. I sort of play just to knock the ball around and,
sure.
and achieve the particular things, but I don't really care about the points. And so whenever I play pinball with my friends, I usually have the lowest score because I'm not trying to get a good score.
Right.
And so it's kind of to help me learn the rules of these pinball machines and also to kind of help other people learn the rules. So I've started this, I suck at pinball. So if you go to, pinballorama.com.
Yeah, that's the one I've been telling them.
There's a link there to right on the main page. There's a link to pinball videos and I've made three of them now of various pinball machines. We did four machines in all in three episodes and, I try to leave them short. They're about 20 to 30 minutes long. And maybe even if you aren't into pinball, you might have fun because it's me and my friends. We're goofing around. We're having a fun time. We're joking. And
that's how we met. You were just doing that. And now it's internet radio. Remember that? And they can also go to sevengraylands.com and they just look around. There's a bunch of stuff there. They could see what have you. We're doing.
Yeah. And graylands.ca is graylands. My music site.
Right, and that's right. There's still a bunch of music and stuff. You guys everybody might be interested in doing that. Once again, especially because you were ill, thank you for popping in here, certainly at last minute notice.
You bet. Hey, you know. I have one thing to follow up on the last show that we talked about.
Okay, quick, we got a minute.
Internet of Things.
Yeah.
I have joined the Internet of Things.
Oh.
I had to buy a new thermostat for my heater, for my furnace, and I bought one that's an Internet of Things. So whoa. I can sit at the cafe. I can sit at a cafe in France and turn the heat on in my house, and it's the most useless thing ever.
Well, as that gets bigger, there's always going to be something to talk about. But there's more. Let's talk more about things because apparently that's the next step. Things are going to happen, and we're going to have the internet on them, right?
Yes.
Oh, because
I think it's a passing fad.
Really? Okay. Well, we'll get into that too. More lozenges. More. Watch out! Don't get too drunk and don't drink NyQuil and drive.
Yeah, I'm gonna get off with you and I'm gonna go and I'm gonna do the DayQuil, NyQuil thing and see what happens.
That'd be good. That'd be probably be better than a lot of people are gonna be getting off on me, to me now. You take care.
That wasn't the right term.
No, it wasn't, but I had to, and I should have just passed by it. Thank you very much. Seven. And if anybody wants to know if Seven had dinner, I can tell you this much. 7-8. So, good night, Seven. We'll talk right. Soon and be and see you on Trump dildos and every other places, right?
Oh yeah, Trump with dildos.com. Trump with dildos. I haven't been making them because of the Russian thing.
But. Yeah, well, we'll get around to stuff. Thank you. Take care of yourself up there.
All right.
Good night. Seven Graylands, everyone. There he goes. He's cool. He's cool, and it's time to be cool now. And isn't it? Where am I? Now I'm looking for. Hey, quick. Where's my thing? My thing is here. I think. Okay, there you go. He's great, isn't he? Because he knows so much. And we learned a lot more about Reddit. And I think I'm going to obviously go give it another shot. And we'll see what we can do. If that bombs out, it bombs out. Who gives a rat's behind about it? My name is Frank Atolo, the man whose name adorns the title of this show. Next week, Charles Dennis and a bunch more things. Go to CatoloChronicles.blogspot.com or go to my Facebook and find out what's happening, when it's happening, and you'll never know why it's happening. It's just happening. So good night, Mrs. Ernstwhile, wherever you may be located. Go buy the books, will you? And thank you very much. A lot of these books, thank you, all you people who've been out there buying Sweet Shepherd. It jumped up a bunch on the Love and Romance standings? They're not standings. That's baseball. Anyway, go buy all those books. They're great. You'll like them. And if you don't, tell me about it. Okay. I have Catolo@yahoo.com. And I'm not going to start giving out my Gmail too, but not now. I said goodnight to Mrs. Ernstwhile. I'll say goodnight to you because after all this, I have nothing more to say.